Hi, I'm Jen Chien, Managing Editor at KALW News. We really appreciate you listening to Cross Currents, and we'd really appreciate it if you'd support KALW by going to our website, klw.org, and clicking on that donate button in the top right-hand corner. We're in our fall membership drive, and we appreciate your support.
KALW.
Whether it's on the turntable, setting the mood at his Makossa cookout parties, or on the stage, rocking a microphone, Grammy-nominated songwriter, MC, and DJ Juan Amador, also known as Juan Way Possible, has been a fixture in the Bay Area music scene. After years of making a name for himself on the local freestyle and battle rap circuit, Juan Way was nominated for a Grammy in 2018 as a member of the East Bay's kids hip-hop group, Alphabet Rockers. But the stage has also been home to Juan as a theater actor. The Bay Area Renaissance man spoke to KALW's Jen Chien to discuss balancing music and acting, as well as the upcoming stage play Pilgrim Street, in which he's featured.
My name is Juan Amador, also known as One Way Possible. I'm an MC, DJ, actor, culture cultivator.
Can you talk about how the music that you choose as a DJ, just where that comes from?
That comes just from all the influences I had growing up. I was born in San Francisco, grew up in West Pittsburgh, now known as Bay Point, but I spent a lot of my growing up in San Francisco. When my mom was younger, we used to have a lot of house parties, and those records would always come on. You'd hear Isaac Hayes and War with, Grupo Nietzsche or Hector Lavoe, or, you know, that's all the stuff we grew up on. So just being a child of hip-hop and just really being a nerd about it, just listening to those samples in the 90s and being like, what songs were those? Going backwards and you start listening to all this jazz and funk and fusion, and you just become a child of music, you know?
So you just recently returned from Brooklyn, where you did a session of your Makossa parties out there. That's something that you've been doing for a while. Can you tell me a little bit about that and how that came about?
I've been traveling to New York a lot, and I was trying to look for gigs as a DJ. Nobody was giving me gigs, so my buddy had a store, and he had a backyard. I'm like, you know what? Let's just throw a party back here. I'll come back every month. I'll fly on my own, whatever. You know, we'll just see what happens. And it kept building 50 to 100 to a couple hundred, and then it became this big thing where, like, I don't know, like 1,000, 1,500 people come out. There's two feelings you get as a DJ that are really cool. You play a song that everyone loves and they sing along to. I love that feeling. And there's also the feeling of playing something no one's heard, and they love that because you're giving them something new. And I love them both. But I love the feeling of giving you something new and something different.
So you're known in the Bay Area as an MC and a DJ, but also as an actor.
Yes.
You've been on stage a lot.
Yeah.
Is one of those your first love?
That's hard to say. I think I would have said, if you would have asked me a couple years ago, I would have said MC, and just because that's what most people knew me as, and I was very successful with that, like winning competitions and battles and things like that. But I don't know. I love it all. I think the new thing is I'm trying to create. I don't even know if maybe it's no label or a new label for all three of it. All three of them, and they should just be one thing instead of saying, "Do you love doing this?" No, I love being a DJ, actor, MC, and we're gonna make up a new name for it, and that's what it'll be.
What do you think is the thread that ties those things together for you?
I think it's the exchange of energy with the crowd, like all three of those. Like, especially as a theater actor, you feel it and you respond to a crowd or what you're giving them. You definitely do that as a DJ and of course as an MC, because it's, yeah, all those three.
It strikes me, though, that the people that you're having conversations with in those contexts can be very, very different. You know, like a lot of live theater has an older, whiter audience. And like we were just talking about your party, Makossa, it's a younger, black and brown partying audience. So can you talk a little bit about that, like the different kinds of communication that you have or how you feel on stage in each of those environments?
I've been really lucky because as a theater artist, when I started as a kid in Pittsburgh, I started with a group called Teatro Locos, and that was Chicano theater, and that's who we played for. We played for a lot of Latino brown people who have never seen theater or they had very limited experiences with it, and I think early on I wanted to be an advocate for that, which is actually part of the reason I stayed away from theater for a long time, because I didn't relate to any of the themes or the audiences necessarily. Not to knock that, that's great for people that do it, but it just didn't resonate with me. So
what exactly did you feel that you were missing in other theater contexts?
It wasn't welcoming to the audience that I was used to when I was doing theater growing up. I wasn't seeing the faces in the audience that I saw growing up. If you're not a theater kid, I think and you grow up, and maybe you don't have tons of money or whatever, like your experience is going to theater, like, well, we're going to take you to the Christmas play, or, you know, and half the time, you know, the teacher's just telling you to be quiet and sit in your play. You know, it's such a disconnection. But yet, I've also done shows where, like Tree City Legends that I did with Campo Santo, or just doing the old Teatro skits where I see people completely open their eyes and they're like, oh, this is theater too. I didn't even know that I could be a part of that.
Well, let's talk about the new play that you're going to be in. And again, full disclosure, my partner is directing this play.
Yes.
It's with a different company, but mm-hmm. It's called Pilgrim Street.
Yes.
It's written by the renowned local playwright, Paul Flores.
Yes.
And it follows the struggle to reunite families in Stockton who've been separated by ICE, foster care, the school-to-prison pipeline. It's a lot of stuff. Tell me about your involvement in this show and what it means to you.
It's set 20 years in the future, and basically tech is arriving into Stockton, which has a lot of parallels to San Francisco and the Bay Area and what's happening now and how that affects people. So I got cast to play the part of Carlos, who is someone who just was released from being in prison, and he's trying to figure out his way and trying to reconnect with family. It's in the future, but it's really not, it's not too far-fetched. Stockton is has a lot of similarities to Pittsburgh. It reminds me a lot in the way that how people make their money, how people get caught up in the system. It's a lot of the same things, and I've been to Stockton a lot growing up. It's been great to take on that part. I love the cast. I love the crew. It's exciting. It's a story that needs to be told, and I'm glad that, you know, I think a lot of times we focus in on the New York story or the Los Angeles story, even the San Francisco story, but we forget the towns like Stockton where these school-to-prison pipelines and, you know, a lot of things are happening. They're getting passed over a lot because we don't even notice it. I want to make that connection with people. I want to bring them in and know that their stories are just as valid and as important.